Thank you, Pastor Needler. Hello, Bethel Baptist Church. It's good to see you this evening. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad and thankful for your faithfulness this evening. You're an encouragement to me, and I want to be an encouragement to you and a challenge as well. Some people are motivated by an encouragement. Some people are motivated by a challenge. I intend to do both so that you and I can be moved to action. Okay? That is an action of serving the Lord. I'm thrilled that my neighbor and friend is here with us tonight, Miss Ada Myers. She's been a big help, and she's only about 92 years old. She's just a kid, okay? And so, what's the matter? I do. Oh, mercy. You know what that says? That says that I have no clock. Amen. Because that's my clock, so that's a good sign. Okay, just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. Miss Ada Myers has been a real big help to me, and to me, she's one of the troopers and the heroes of America, because don't tell her that you're hungry. She knows what it's like to be hungry. She went through the Great Depression, and I praise God for her. She's a real trooper, and I praise God that she showed up tonight. Okay. Having said that, I believe I owe it to you to share with you my testimony. That is how I got saved. You don't want a man up here that's lost. And I'm not ashamed to say that I see the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior back in February of 1991. Okay? Now, for the sake of time and brevity, we're going to skip the details and give you that on another time. Okay? I understand that some of you kids have to go to school tomorrow, and so I need to be considerate for your time. And so maybe if you really want to hear it, you can tell Pastor, we want to hear his testimony. This way I can preach again next time. Okay? But in the meantime, I'd like to take the opportunity to share with you of the journey that it took to come back down here to Southwest Florida. Okay? That's important because it was just about a three-quarter end of my schooling. As you know, Pastor mentioned I felt called for the Lord's calling to preach His Word. And I took it seriously. So I went up there to the panhandle and to go to Bible college and to study more seriously. And towards the three-quarter end of my schooling, the Lord began to open up some doors for me. Okay, I was very busy, and I had two nursing home ministries. I was the Sunday school teacher for the college and career, and I was teaching, I was the men's chaplain for the men's cookout, and I was just as busy as can be. And then to top it off, the Lord loaded me up some more and called me to conduct, to team up with an evangelist to conduct the revival services up in Missouri. I thought, wow, I thought I was busy enough. Now, I didn't conduct the revival services. I was just a helper to an evangelist, the same way John Mark was a helper to Paul. So I went up there, and we had a good time up there. We spent about a week up there. And while we were there, we got to know the people. We saw two people get saved. But while I was there, a thought just crossed my mind. It just kind of, and I thought, what was that? Like, well, it's just a thought. And I said, oh, that's just a thought. And a thought was, if the pastor were to pass away, would you be willing to pastor this church? And I said, that's not going to happen. This is a seasoned man. He's in his mid-70s. They're not going to ask me. I said, yeah, but I'd be willing. But it's just a thought, so I forgot all about it. Well, little did I know, about a year later, I got a call from that evangelist. They said, hey, Brother Sammy passed away, you know. I said, he did? He said, yes, and I need to tell you something. You need to pray about this. I said, what's that? He said, they want you to go up there and candidate to pastor that church. Who? Quincy who? I said, he skipped town. I don't know where he went. Quite frankly, I just was not ready. And so I had cold feet, and I thought, mercy. I couldn't give an answer. I said, let me pray about it. And so I kind of stalled a little bit, and 3 months went by, and I heard they got a young man to take the church. I thought, glory to God. I just felt the chill with that sound of Missouri. You know, I thought, whew. Well, 3 months later, the call came back. They said, the young man didn't make it. He quit. We want you. I said, oh, mercy. It must be the Lord's call. That call is persisting. I said, you know, I was back there in my room, but I said, if I didn't go to Missouri, any state that I go to, I'd be in a state of misery. So I thought, Lord, I'm willing. I said, I'm sorry, I'll go, but I just need you to make some provisions. Just, I don't have any gas to get up there, but I'll start praying and I'll write him a letter. Just about that time, the door closed, and they considered somebody else. And at the same time, this door opened down here. I knew a church down here that I already knew. I knew the pastor. I preached there in 05, and he needed some help. So I said, I'm going to Southwest Florida. And so there I was. I journeyed as fast as I could, and it took 3 journeys to come down. And the first journey, I had to come down and just scout the area and make sure everything is situated. And then I had to go back the second trip, and I had to take one of those big 24-footer Penske trucks. And you know how it is when you move. Somebody says, I'll help you move, but on that day they'll say, oh, that's the day my leg's going to be broken. That's the day I plan to go camping for 6 months. So what else is new? So I loaded up that truck all day long. One fella showed up, but then he had to go camping like everybody else. And I like to travel at night because it's cool in the night. There's less traffic. But the dangerous thing is it's dark. And as I traveled on that journey, I had a driver that drove the Penske truck. And I drove my Jeep with a trailer behind it. And we head out at about midnight. And would you believe it? Right about Ocala area, when the hills go up and down, you guessed it, I fell asleep. Right behind that wheel. And there was a driver behind the truck saying, oh Lord, help him! And here was my trailer swaying back and forth. And it just missed the tractor trailer by about 3 inches. But all the whole time throughout that journey, I couldn't see a thing. And all I had was this little tiny light. Because the dome light in my Jeep was broken, so I turned this thing on. Is it on? It doesn't work, does it? It worked this morning. And all I had was this little tiny light, and I drive down the road there. And I was just as happy as can be, even though it was dark. Not only because I didn't have to go to Missouri, but because I was content that it wasn't the Lord's will to go up there. He was just testing me. But I was even more content because the journey, I had this little tiny light that guided me through my journey down here. Now, if you notice, as I told you that story, I made mention of that word journey a little bit more emphatically, didn't I? You notice that word journey? And that is simply because life is but a journey, is it not? You do not go through life and thinking that you're going to arrive and settle down and retire and that's going to be the end of it. No, life is but a journey. But the question is, how do you know you're headed the right way? You see, life is but a journey. And so at this time, let's journey now in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms 119. And I invite you to turn to the Psalms 119. And while you're turning there, I'd like to give you a little something that I wrote towards the tail end of my schooling. And it's just a little booklet that is called, Why Prefer the King James Bible. Okay, I wrote this, and I want you to have it because it gives you the facts, and I come into it on a neutral angle, so that it doesn't allow you to think that it's biased or any of that fashion. And I want you to have this. The only trouble is I only have about 5 copies. And I'll make some more in the near future. But the first 5 people who approach me in the back there, I'll let you have it the nice way. Okay? I'll let you have it the nice way. Now, you're in Psalm 119. Turn over to verse 97. Psalm 119, 97. And when you find verse 97, for the sake of honoring the Word of God and giving reverence to the Word of God, may I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word as we may give honor and respect unto the Word of God. Okay? You're in the book of Psalms 119. Down there in verse 97, the Bible says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me thou, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Verse 105 is our text. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The title of this message, life is but a journey. Which way is the right way? And as a testimony unto the Lord that His word is a guide unto our life, shall we say it together in unison, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for giving us this great opportunity to gather in your house. We thank you for each one that has chosen to come hear your word this evening. We thank you especially for giving us your word of promise, your very revelation to us. Now, Lord, I ask that you may guide these lips which belong to you. I pray that you may use me according that brings honor and glory unto thee. And I pray that your spirit might have liberty to move, to touch hearts as only you can. And we pray that we may retain your words as our everyday, daily meditation all the days of our lives. Guide us now, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Life is but a journey. Which way is the right way? You see, when you go through life, without a question, without a shadow of a doubt, there will be intersections. There will be crossroads. And you'll have to decide which way is right and which way is wrong. There will be some breaks on the road, some discontinuity. That is, you'll have to go around, okay? Or you may have to consider, what should I do, okay? There may be some forks on the road. You'll have to make a decision, which way do I go, left or right? There may be some curves. Better slow down. If you go too fast into it, you may just slip out. Perhaps you may be a young person, and you've been looking for that hot rod, that car that you've always wanted. And you say, oh, I've got to have that hot rod. Wait. Better wait. Better get some advice from somebody. Better get somebody to help you consider if that car is any good. Might have a bad engine. Might have a bad frame. Better get somebody that has some wisdom. Perhaps as you go down that road, there may be some obstacles. Somebody trying to stop you from your goal. Okay? Perhaps as you go down the road, there may be some detours where you have to go around. Or perhaps there may be some even some bumps. Okay? In other words, don't quit. Because a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. But the question is, which way is the right way? There will be some decisions that you'll have to make. Which car do I buy? Which job do I take? Nowadays, what job do I take? Which school do I send my kid to? How about this one? Which party or politician do I vote for? How about this? Which church do I go to? You see, the list goes on. It's endless in the entire journey of life. And if you're a leader, if you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're a supervisor, you're a leader. If you're a pastor, you're a leader. You'll have to make some decisions. Because without decisions, nothing will happen. Unless somebody makes a decision is when something will happen. May I say without apology, God provides the right way in the journey of life. Because the Bible, that is Biblos in the Greek, the book, the Word of God, is the answer, the solution to all of life's issues and problems. There is none other. You need go none other. Now let's look at our text, if you will, verse 105, and let's try to break this down piece per piece so that we can have the proper digestive setup as we go into the body. If you look at that word thy, okay, it's just another word that is used as the word your, okay? The word your here is as if you would say your car, your house, your coat, your belongings. But on the other sense, it's given in a reverential form that is respectful and honorable. You see, that's why it's important that you and I use the King James Bible, because the King James Bible gives you that type of revelation that you're not addressing anybody in a flippant way. The psalmist here is addressing none other than the Almighty God. And God needs to be addressed in a reverential form, respectful and honorable. Okay? Now, as we continue here, keep in mind, Psalm 105 is given in a metaphorical way. That is, it's given as a metaphor, a figure of speech, in which one thing is spoken as if it was another, okay, metaphorically. So as we look at the word lamp, here the word lamp is referring to an insight, something that you have some information about, or it gives you discernment at each step, each decision that you make, okay. Back in the olden days, in the Eastern Caravan, they didn't have flashlights like I do or power lamps. They simply had lamps. And they walked out in the wilderness, so what they did was they placed those lamps on their feet. And they had to watch each step as they moved along out there in the wilderness. A lamp was placed right on their feet, okay? Now, the next word we want to look at is that word feet, okay? Feet refers to, it gives you the connotation of moving, okay, or going, or decisions, okay. Decisions are not made unless you decide to go, okay. It speaks of actions or the act of the will, okay. You're not going to go unless you decide to go. And you're not going to go unless your feet are willing to go. So feet is referring to actions, okay? Now let's look at the next word, light. This word light refers to receiving a vision, okay? Or a picture. Look down there to verse 130. This refers to getting understanding, okay? Verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." If you've ever taught a class or tutor somebody, or you're trying to give somebody instruction, and finally they look at you as if you're talking in Greek, but as you're giving them that information, you're giving them baselines, dots, and the receiver has the opportunity to connect the dots as you're giving them information. And when they finally make continuity with the last dot, the continuity makes the circuitry and light comes on. It's as if they would say, "Oh, I get it." If you're tutoring somebody and you run into a tough subject and finally they look at you and they say, "Oh, I get it." Then you say, "Glory to God, light has shined through the brick wall." Okay. Because they have just gotten a vision. In other words, they have gotten a picture. Now, when you have a vision, you have an understanding. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You see, we need to have the understanding, the vision, the same way that God has in relation to our community. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." You see, I get a little cautious when somebody says, "Oh, I don't understand why this is going on. Oh, I don't understand why this." Well, beloved, maybe it's because you have not been separated unto the Lord. Unless you are living a holy life, because the Bible says the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It gives you understanding when you have the light, the Word of God. Now, the next word is the word path, and that speaks of the very journey of life. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Okay? Now, if you notice, I skipped that word for last, okay, on our list. And that word in the Greek is called logos. It refers to something said, advice, or more specifically, it refers to commandment. Okay? Look down in verse 98 of Psalm 119. It says, "Though thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies." Okay? This word commandment is referring to God's word given with divine authority that is given from God, and it is given to us as a trust. Okay? It's been given to none other than the church as a trust. So having said that and broken down verse 105, may I ask you a question, and that is, which way are you going? Consider that for a moment, which way you're going. You see, recall in the Old Testament, God chose a people to be a peculiar people, distinct. He wanted them for himself. And these people were better known as Israel. Israel was chosen that they may witness of the living God. But part of God's requirement was for Israel to trust and obey God's commands as they journey into the wilderness. Let's go back to the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, and let's see exactly what type of journey were they going through. Exodus chapter 8, verse 27, we see a picture there of Israel in 8:27. The Bible says, "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us." Okay? Now, keep in mind, during that time, Israel is in bondage under Pharaoh. Okay? Remember that time when Moses was calling, pleading with Pharaoh to have him to be freed, and Pharaoh resisted. And thereby he was given some plagues, one after another, so that Israel can be freed. But let's see an example and reference of this type of insight that God is giving the children of Israel regarding the light that they needed. Fast forward over to chapter 10 of Exodus. Look down there, verse 21 and 23. Exodus chapter 10, verses 21, 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Notice verse 23. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Here's the key. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. How about that? It was extremely dark. When Moses obeyed the Lord, the Lord said, I'm going to send darkness in their midst. But the children of Israel had light. Now what in the world is that? May I give you the interpretation? The interpretation is this. God's people are in slavery. They're in bondage. And God is going to free them. Okay? The application is, the sinner is in slavery to Satan, and God gave them an insight to free them from their bondage of sin. You see, this is not a natural light, but a supernatural light. Today, the world is in darkness because they have no interest in the Word of God. We go out in the streets and knock on their doors and we say, we've got some good news for you. And they say, we're not interested. We say, but wait, but Jesus says, we're not interested. Why are they not interested? Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble, you see. They're in darkness and yet they don't know it at all. Now recall in the earlier years of the world, particularly 500 to 1500 A.D. Can you recall what that time was called? Did you know it is better known as the Dark Ages? Okay. Why would you say that it was called the Dark Ages? You see, because the Bible was suppressed. It was suppressed and hidden and it was not exposed to the people. Thereby, that entire era was called the Dark Ages. It wasn't a natural light. It was a supernatural light. But today, we have the confidence of the supernatural light, God's Word, to give us the insight of our journey or our life. Therefore, God's Word gives us an insight in our journey of life, giving us, number one, discernment. Okay? Discernment. Go back now to Psalm 119 and look down to the verse 104. And we'll see exactly what type of discernment this is. Go back to Psalm 119. And it says there in 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Discernment is that ability to distinguish or tell the difference between issues. Very important. The ability to distinguish between right and wrong, between good and evil. To recognize by sound judgment. By sound estimation. Okay. Now may I say, this is an ingredient that is lacking in the churches today across the board. It's not just lacking with the laymen. No, it's lacking to those who are in office. It's lacking in the deacons. It's lacking in the preacher's wives. No offense to Sister Cheryl. Okay. It's lacking in some pastors today. And it breaks my heart to see that they're setting the example and yet they lack discernment. Okay, they just don't have it. And we need it desperately today. Now the question is, how do you know you're going the right way? The Bible gives us the right way because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder and soul and spirit, and it joins in the marrows, here it is, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to know you're going the right way? Read the Bible. You see, we read many books in our lifetime, but when you read the Bible reads you. And it tells you your very exact standing. In fact, most Christians today, sad to say, they do not know what they believe or why they believe. And that is because they're spiritually fat. You say spiritually fat. Why? Because they are not exercising their spirituality in discerning. They're not doing that. In other words, they're not working out spiritually. I don't know about you, but I used to work out back when I was a teen. Not anymore, of course. I got knee injuries now. Okay. But when you ask someone, particularly supposedly a seasoned Christian, why do you believe what you believe? Sad to say, to the majority, this is what you'll get. Well, because it's what we've been taught. I say, well, whoop-de-doo. Because you know, that's exactly what other religions would say. That's what we've been taught. In short, what they're saying is, well, it's our tradition. Well, the Muslims can say that. Kids that went up in public school can say evolution is true because that's what we've been taught. Well, hello! We must have a better answer than that and give them the right answer biblically and with sound judgment. Truth is not what you've been taught. Truth is the Word of God, independent. Whether you've been taught it or not, it's still true. Some people say at the door, when they knock on that door, they say, oh, I don't believe that. I say, so what? It's still true. You see? And that gets them at their attention. I say, it's still true. You see? Now, you want to see exactly how, perhaps you're asking, well, how then do we exercise our spirituality of discernment? How do we do that? Turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll see exactly just how do we exercise this area of spirituality. And we need to if we're going to be spiritually in shape. Hebrews chapter 5, look down there in verse 14. The Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, let me begin in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice the phrase there, who by reason. You see, we must give the right reason as why or what we believe. We must give the right reason. Now back up a little bit, or forward rather, 1 Peter 3:15. In the meantime, while you're turning there, I'd like to quote to you Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together. Though our sins be red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Okay? Now, 1 Peter 3:15 does not give us much option or leeway because the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord thy God in your hearts and be ready sometimes to give an answer. See, you caught that, didn't you? And be ready always. It doesn't say sometimes or when you feel like it or only when you're going soul winning. Let me ask you a question. If there was a police officer on duty and he is to be ready at one thing, what would that one thing be? His gun would be ready, wouldn't it? He's ready to go because he's on duty. May I say, beloved, there are no part-time Christians. The moment you got saved, you're on duty 24/7. And God says, be ready always to give an answer of the reason. Not just it's because it's we've been taught. No, we should be able to at least say, thou saith the Lord. Because God said so, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, it's still true. Now, if they should say, well, where does that say that? That's your opportunity. An open door for you to lead them to the Scriptures so that they can be saved. So that they can begin to hear the gospel. Perhaps they may say, oh, that's written by man. You tell them, oh no, it's written by God because the entire book is in agreement with each other. There are no contradictions in this book. From cover to cover, it's all in agreement with each other. Perhaps you may say, well, where can we then practice, exercise, or spiritual discernment by giving right reason? Where can we do that? I'm glad you asked. Come out and door knocking with us. Come out in the streets and the highways. And let me tell you, you want a challenge? You want some exercise in your spirituality? You'll get them from the lost. You'll get them from the heathens. Because they have such answers, questions that brings you to, cause you to run back to the Word of God. You know, Mike Kinnery, this morning called a little bit of a challenge. He's out there playing golf and he ran into a Seventh-day Adventist. And he was getting a challenge. He was trying to grasp for those reasons. So I helped him out a little bit. But I can tell Mike was getting a little work out there. His spirituality was being exercised because he had to dig in to the right reasons. Now go back to Psalm 119 and I ask you a question. Look down there in Psalm 119, 104. He asks a question, but he gives a statement of his position. Okay? He says, I hate every false way. Now, how do you suppose he hated every false way? He's responding, doesn't he? He says, I hate every false way. Well, quite simply, he says, through thy precepts, I get understanding. You see, it's given him the ability to have that discernment. Okay? Secondly, not only does the Word of God give us discernment, but God's Word gives us an insight in the journey of our life, giving us, number two, distinction. Okay? God's Word gives us distinction. Shift back a little bit there in Psalm 119. Look down in verse 98. It says, though through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser. Okay? Verse 100, I have understanding more than ancients. Why? Why does he have understanding more than ancients? Well, because I kept thy precepts. Perhaps you're asking, what is this ancients? What is that? Well, if you've ever been with some young people and you try to be kind of buddy-buddy with them so you can get into their thinking so that they can open up to you, and then they finally realize how old you are, they'll say, oh, you're ancient. In other words, they realize you're old. I say, I'm not that old, but to them you are. So here in ancient, they say that you're old. But notice what it says. He says, I have more understanding than ancients, than old people. You see, young people, as you share the Word of God with people out there, they'll tell you, to intimidate you, they'll say, I'm old enough to be your dad. Or I'm old enough to be your mother. Or I have a kid that's older than you. This is what you tell them. You may be older than me, but are you older than the Word of God? Now they're stuck. Then you ask them, have you read the Word of God? And then challenge them, which book? Book? They haven't read it. So you tell them, I've read the Bible. I must be wiser than you. Maybe I can show you. You see? And there you have a distinction because you have more understanding than the ancients. Now, did you know that God desires for His people to be distinct? He wants His people to be different. Exodus 8:23 says, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Okay? Go back to Exodus chapter 19. I was just sharing this with Mike Canarium. And God wants a distinction from His people. Exodus 19, look down there in verse 5. The Bible says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. Did you get that? Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. You heard it this morning, 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. God wants His people to be distinct, different. Now, here's a verse that I want you to see. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And this is important because it doesn't take long that we lose track and then all of a sudden we think that we're right. May I say this without apology? We're not right because we're Baptists, but rather when we submit to God's Word, then we're right, then we're distinct, then we're Baptists. Okay? We're Baptists because we have biblical authority. And we take the Word of God as our final authority. Now look down in verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look what the Bible says regarding distinction. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7, it says, And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? Except it give a distinction, how shall it be known? You see, it's important to know what you believe because ultimately you'll practice what you believe and you'll be known for what you practice. Let me say that again. It's important to know what you believe Because ultimately you'll practice what you believe and you'll be known for what you practice. For what you do. Your very own lifestyle. Okay? And so you and I need to be distinct. God wants us to be distinct. Thirdly, God's Word doesn't only give us discernment and distinction, but God's Word gives us an insight in our journey of life, giving us, thirdly, direction. Okay? He gives us the direction. The entire verse of verse 105 implies direction. It tells us the right journey to go. Okay? In case you didn't notice, that word in Psalm 119, 105 is the same word that's used in the New Testament of John 1:1. You know the verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you fast forward down all the way to verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh. Was it not? Well, we ask ourselves the question, then who is this? This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who walked the face of the earth. He's done many things, but before He left, He gave some instructions. He gave some wisdom. In John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by Him. You notice He doesn't say, I am a way. No. He says, I am the way, the only way. That is the way to heaven, the way to God. He is the only way. Okay? Now, as a word of caution here, it's important to use the Word of God as our daily guide, by habit, every day, to use it the way we use things as in familiarity. Because here's what happens. If you don't use it, you'll revert back to what's comfortable to you. Okay? Notice there in verse 97 of Psalm 119, the psalmist says, Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. All the day. In other words, that's what he relies on. It's the very guide of the pathway, the journey of his life. And the danger, beloved, when you do not use the Word of God, you'll go back to what's comfortable to you. That is, you'll go back to your feelings. Okay? You'll go back to your tradition. Just because it's tradition doesn't mean that it's right. Could be the wrong tradition. Traditions slip and they go the wrong direction. You'll go by what your peers are doing. Why everyone else is doing it. Oh, really? Is that the basis of the guidance of your journey? And here's one dangerous area. You'll go by your heart. Now, the heart here that I'm referring to is not the organ of the body, but rather the act of the will. The very decisions that you'll make. Listen to Jeremiah 17:9. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Boy, I don't know about you, but I don't trust my heart one bit. Now, you may not see the heart in its everyday settings, but the heart, without restrictions, is wicked. Take away the laws, take away the fences, take away the restrictions, and you'll see the true nature of the heart. If you can recall back in 05, there was a tremendous hurricane that went through the south, the Panhandle area. I think it was called Hurricane Katrina. It hit Louisiana in 05, and because of that, all the guidelines were taken down. There was no power. There was no police. You couldn't get to their area, and you saw the heart in its natural condition. They were looting. They were raping each other. They were robbing. You name it. It was the real condition of the heart. That's the heart, because the Bible says in Proverbs 28:26, He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You see, some people would say, oh, we can't trust our heart, then who can we trust? I wouldn't trust my heart, because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Careful if you find yourself saying or thinking, oh, I don't care about that light stuff. I'll just do it my own way. Whoa, red flag goes up when somebody says, I'll do it my own way. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Did you get that? Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslidden in heart shall be filled with His own way. When you receive instruction from someone, whether it be your parent or your boss or your pastor, and you find yourself insisting on your own way, better consider your heart. You may be in a backslidden condition. I get people that I hire, and I say, this is the most efficient way, and I know how to do it. And they say, I want to do it this way. I look at them and say, and you call yourself a Christian? Better be careful. You might be in that backslidden condition, insisting on your own way. In fact, while I was at Bible college, it was easy to spot all the rebels. I saw exactly where they were going. Where do you suppose they were going? I saw them. They were all going to Burger King. You say, Burger King, why Burger King? Well, Burger King's slowing us. Have it your way. I said, aha, that's where all the rebels are going, you see, because they're backslidden in heart. They want things their own way. May I say, beloved, my way, your way, their way, his way is all the wrong way. You say, how do you say that? The Bible tells me in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep. Now, if you stop and think about it, you know anything about sheep. Sheep is pretty dumb. My dog is smarter than the sheep. She is. She's a smart doggy. But God says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Oh, mercy. Don't think because it's his way and their way and it's the right way. No. Our way is the wrong way. Beloved, may I say this? The Lord Jesus Christ took on our way, sin, so that we can have His way, His righteousness. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Very important verse. It says, for He, that's God, hath made Him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us. What? But it says to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Wow, what an exchange. Talk about a switch. That is an unfair swap. Somebody got the raw end of the deal. And you and I got the best end, His righteousness, His way, and yet we insist on our way. Oh, have mercy upon us, O God. God's Word gives us, lastly, insight in our journey of life, giving us our, number four, our destiny. Okay. He gives us our very destiny. Look down there in verse 111 of Psalm 119. The psalmist says, Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are rejoicing in my heart. I have taken as an heritage forever. That's pretty much your destiny, isn't it? So how do you say that? Fast forward to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll see exactly what type of destiny is the psalmist referring to here. 1 John chapter 5, we covered this in Sunday school class. If you missed it, you may hear it again tonight. 1 John chapter 5, look down there in verse 11. The Bible tells us, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. That tells me the individual's destiny is sealed, is it not? If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, but as men as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Beloved, your destiny is sealed, and your destiny is to go to heaven. But at the same time, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, your destiny is sealed the moment you die. Because the Bible says that he that believeth not is condemned already. Your destiny will be sealed. Now let me close with this. I believe you have some time. May I say this? Turn over to the book of Proverbs chapter 6 verse 23. You need to see this, especially the young people. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 23. I called this a long time ago when I was in Bible college. And I determined back then that I am going to receive instruction from the Word of God. Okay, you're going to get instruction from somebody anyway, because it's going to happen. You might as well get it from God. Look down in chapter 6, and fast forward to verse 23, and look what the Bible says. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The entire journey of your life, you're going to get instruction from somebody. And I hear this attitude, ain't going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Okay, that's fine. Might as well get it from God. Here's what happens. You don't get it from the Lord. You're going to get it from somebody else. Somebody else that you don't want to. Maybe a set of blue light special behind you that's not from Kmart. Or maybe from a judge that you have no control over and you have to report to court because you did not listen to sound wisdom and sound instruction. Okay? For reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now let's zero in for a little bit on that word law. Okay? That word law is nothing more than a set of parameters. A set of guidelines. In other words, say for instance, when we have Wednesday night midweek service and pastor says, we're going to play a little game tonight and these are the rules. We're going to play the tune and you get to do this and you get to do that. And when you listen to that, you say, oh, now I know what to do. Because you've heard the parameters, the guidelines, the law. And the Bible says in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment, that's God's word, is a lamp. It gives us insight. God's word gives us insight. And the law is a light. It gives you understanding. In other words, if you go to a new state, they have a set of laws. When you learn those laws, you realize, oh, that's what I can do and that's what I can't do. Thereby, it gives you understanding and it allows you to proceed in the right pathway. But without the commandment from God, because sometimes the laws of the land could be wicked. Just because it's a law, that doesn't mean that it's right. Okay? So you need both the law and God's commandment. And you might as well get it from the Word of God. After all, doesn't the Bible say in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For doctrine that is for right teaching, for reproof what is not right, for correction how to stay right, for instruction how to stay right, for correction how to get it right, for instruction in righteousness how to stay right. Now, we have but a few minutes. May I give you some warnings regarding the area if we do not use discernment, okay? If we do not use discernment. Let me give you two examples, one in a general sense and one in a more personal arena, okay? Did you know that the majority of the Christians out there, if they're even Christians, do not have the discernment of the very issues that our nation is facing today? In their estimation and their discernment, they think that in some cases, it's okay to have an abortion. I've heard that from people. They say, oh, it's okay to have an abortion if the baby's not perfect. I say, what? If the baby's not perfect, you can have an abortion? Well, then if that's the case, then I can kill you. I got a knife about this big. Why not? Here's why. They're not perfect either, are they? And so you have to go by that principle. Because they're not perfect, they ought to be killed. Well, then I can just borrow Brother Fred's gun. And kill them. But that doesn't work. Or perhaps they may say, well, a woman has a right to her own body. Oh, she does, huh? Take that principle. If the woman has a right to her own body, then she should be able to prostitute herself out here in Sumter Boulevard. Try that. See if you don't get arrested. Well, I thought you said she had a right to her own body. Oh. You mean she doesn't? Go ahead and try it. Well, a woman has a right to her own body, and try shooting heroin in your veins out here in public. See if you don't get arrested by Kevin Vespia's boys. You won't get away with it. Does she have a right to her own body? I don't think so. Try going out here and not wear a seatbelt. Guaranteed you'll get a ticket. Okay? Now what happens to that individual that doesn't have that discernment and they go out to the voting polls? Who do they vote for? They vote for the wrong person, don't they? The wrong politician, because in their discernment, you can have an abortion. Well, that's not so. That very baby is a person, just like you're a person. Now, that's a general arena. Let me give it a little bit more personal, what happens when you do not use discernment. because it'll affect you and the ones that you love. I heard of a story of a preacher boy who went to Bible college, and he had many opportunities to serve there. One of the areas that he served was in the jailhouses. And so he goes out there with his college because he preaches the word, and in invitation time, he dispatches his students, his college kids, to minister one-on-one. And while this is happening, he has to overlook to make sure no fires flare up, because after all, you're in jail. A fire flares up in the jailhouses, you're in trouble. You get a riot. So he has to make sure that everything is under control. And while his students were ministering, he noticed an elderly man there in his mid-50s who was there with his kids. So he thought, I better approach this man and at least greet him. He's here with his children, with a group of kids. So he said, sir, I noticed you've been here for a while. Could I ask, why are you here? You have some children? He says, I'm glad you asked. He said, this is my ministry, and these children here are from some sort of a halfway home, or what is that Brother Mike has? Orphanage. This is from an orphanage, and I want these kids to see what would happen if they make the wrong decision. They'll end up in jail. And because of that, they're going to be scared straight. I said, wow, that's got to be costly. I said, you do this? This is your ministry? He said, yes, I'm an insurance man. So this preacher boy says, well, what caused you to do this? What about that time that insurance man welled up with tears in his eyes and he kind of swallowed hard and he said, I'm glad that you asked. And he said this. He said, a while ago, when my boy was a teenager, he said, I made a mistake. Preacher boy says, a mistake? He says, yes, I thought I was going to be doing him a favor. But I made a mistake. He says, I bought him a car. Car? So the preacher boy thought, oh, what could be worse? He got into an accident, got a ticket. He says, I got him a car, and I thought I'd be doing him a favor, and I didn't keep an eye on him, and he got in with the wrong crowd. He thought it was the in crowd, the cool crowd. And one night, his boy was out there driving out at night, late at night, places he wasn't supposed to go, and wouldn't you know it, late night, they got the blue light special. There's the police officer behind them, and they got pulled over. And when they did, the officer found out and inspected them to see what they were doing. His son's companion that he was with had a large amount of stuff on him. And the stuff was illegal. And because of the high volume of stuff, it fell into the category of trafficking. That is the intent to distribute. And because his son was there at the wrong time, at the right time they were pulled over, his son was guilty by association. And so he said, that insurance man swallowed hard. And he said, this month, my son will be 36 years old. He's been in a state penitentiary for 18 years. And he said, we tried everything that we could. We went to lawyers. We pleaded with the governor. They would not let him go. He says, and I hold myself accountable because I did not have the discernment for my son. Now, beloved, may I say this? If you do not exercise discernment, it's going to cost you. Not only is it going to cost you, it's going to cost your loved ones. And it's going to be expensive because of not exercising discernment. Now, may I say, when we're not willing to journey in God's light, okay, we'll close with this. This is exactly when we have broken fellowships and not getting along. When we're not willing to journey and use discernment by God's commandment and walk in His light is exactly when we have friction. Oh, but 1 John 1:7 says, but when we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Woo! That's exactly when you and I get along. You see, the only reason why we don't get along is we have a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. But the more we have the light of God's Word, the more understanding we have with one another. So, let me ask you the same question as I asked earlier. Which way are you going? Are you walking in the light of God? Are you using discernment for Him? Do you have distinction for His name's sake? Do you know you're going the right direction? Is your destiny set with that eternal life? I trust that it is.